Good evening. Welcome to the Empty Tomb Christian Family Dinner Pastor Interview. We're glad that you can join us today, bringing you tonight dialogue from the Christian perspective concerning the well-being of our children in our community. The topics of our interviews are from Project 18 Community Report Card. Tonight's topic of discussion will be education. Joining us tonight, Pastor Nash from New Hope Church of God in Christ in Champaign, and Pastor Heidi Weatherford from McKinley Presbyterian Church and Foundation in Champaign. First question to Pastor Weatherford. In your view, are there different educational opportunities provided our children depending upon income levels and culture backgrounds, and what, if any, are some of the roadblocks confronting African American families as they seek an education for their children?
My perception is that there are certainly differences between the kind of education that African American children get and the majority, soon minority, white children get. And the differences that I see the most, and some of you all know this better than I do, so I'm hoping for feedback here, but I think in some ways the financial picture makes a huge difference. When a family has enough money, extra money, to afford extra tutoring, extra music classes, good sports and gym equipment, extra field trips so that the children can go and learn things, then those kids have a bit of an advantage. I'm thinking economically now, not just between black and white. So those who have not as much economic wealth in their home don't have the same kind of advantage. And in some communities, and I'm new enough to Champaign-Urbana that I don't know about here, but in some communities, the property taxes are affected too. So if you're in a community with high property taxes, you've got great school systems. And if you're in a community without that, you don't. And that makes a difference in the kind of education. I also think, again, with the financial piece, it also creates kind of a divide, especially in this day and age where so much learning and education happens through the internet. And if you're in a family that can't afford a computer, let alone the phone cost it takes to have an online internet service, the children in that family are at a great, great disadvantage. And some folks are trying to make an effort to correct that and equalize that divide, but I think that's pretty huge. I also, one of my favorite soapboxes, I don't think I've ever talked to you about this, Pastor Nash, but standardized testing, I think, has a huge cultural bias in it. And so I continue to be troubled that not more of an effort is not being made to figure out how to address that issue when you have the same blanket test for every child in the country, whether they be African American, white, Asian, immigrant, long time history, family. You know, it seems radically unfair to me with the cultural and educational differences that we all share to have that kind of a standardized testing happen.
I believe in adding to that comment, and being a single parent and with a low income, dealing with these type of issues has become a roadblock for myself, having to seek out my own information and other ways in the internet and different things like that, on hands, going to different places like on campus and different places like that. Your thoughts, Pastor Nash?
I have to agree with Heidi that income plays a major role. We have what we call low income, middle to upper income, and the low income family is at a disadvantage when it comes to being able to address education needs from a resource perspective. And so we must accept that, we must believe that, and the upper to middle to upper income families has a greater advantage because they can get their children involved mm-hmm. into private schools. They can have a library in their home. They can have the computers, internet accessible. And so, yes, we believe that income plays a major role mm-hmm. in the educational needs of the family, whether it be positive or negative. And looking at it from a cultural standpoint, we must understand that, yes, there is a difference in learning based on the culture. And we believe that when our educators understand that, and then realize that every child can learn, and then the educator begin to learn the culture mm-hmm. and apply that learning in their teaching methodology, then we can bring our kids those kinds of keys that they need to learn.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pastor Nash, what can we as part of the religious community do to directly impact the lives of young people who are without family or community support with regard to the basic education needs?
Education, speaking from a religious point of view, we who are religious people, Christian people, we must look at this problem as Jesus would. Jesus came to minister to the whole person, not just to the spiritual aspect, but the whole person. And I believe we as pastors must also take that same mindset. And one of the areas is education that we must look. And I think that the religious community, we should be the catalyst that bring together the rest of the community to address the educational need. There was a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. It's going to take the church, it's going to take the educational system, it's going to take the parent. And the religious community should be the catalyst to bring that together, motivate, stimulate the rest of the community to address that need.
I would agree. Being a single parent and having to deal with the research of having to go out there and having a low income and having to go out there and research these things on my own and having the support of the church. And I've been blessed where I have a lot of friends that in positions where they can get information for me, and also working at Empty Tomb has been truly a blessing for me. And having that background of religious and being saved, mm-hmm. But what about the parents do not have that type of support? What would you suggest for them to do?
Of the religious support of the religious community? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would think that parents who don't have that kind of support need to be able to find it somehow, either through the school systems, and even if they don't automatically turn to the church, if the church has something to offer, if there are programs in place or programs that exist in the community, and the churches or organizations like Empty Tomb or the shelters in the area can advertise that and make people aware of that and say this is a non-threatening place, that you can go here with your children and get some extra help, some extra education, and we will try to embrace your child and make that child as whole a child as possible. That could be something. I think also we can... We folks in the church can advocate and lobby with the school boards and other folks in the community on behalf of those folks, whether they're in a church or out of a church, to make sure that the basic needs of children in the community are being met, and that we have a voice, and we never want to assume we're voiceless and powerless, because we're not. We can do something about that.
Okay. Dealing with, you mentioned the education board system, and I've had to make a couple of calls myself in that in aspects of that, and having someone to speak for me. Pastor Nash, you are a part of a religious organization. What type of things are you doing to provide those different things or advocate for these parents?
One of the things we're doing, we recognize that everybody in our community is not connected to a church, and to answer the question, what must a parent do that do not have the religious support? That parents should go back to the school, must understand that that school has a responsibility to the children, to the state, to address that educational need. And so if that parent go back to the school, and then if the school and the church and the community has partnered together, then the resources will be there for that parent. Mm-hmm. So I would say to the parent, go back to the school, talk to the principal, talk to the dean, and there will be programs there for your child.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we just have a few more minutes left. Would you like any to end with any comments?
I thought of a story. It's a true story of Mary McLeod Bethune, who started the Sunday school system. I don't know if any of you know of her. The reason that Sunday school system got started was in New York City, there were children who were forced to work in, they didn't have child labor laws, and so they were forced to work in factories and stuff, and they weren't learning. They weren't getting an education.
Okay.
And she kept complaining to her husband, who was a pastor, that the kids weren't getting an education, and that she would go to the town, to the city council and to other folks, and they were ignoring her. And her husband finally said to her, if you want those kids educated, you're going to have to do it yourself.
Well,
and started the Sunday school program, started by using the Bible as a way to teach children how to read. And I think that comes back to what we've been talking about, is that if there's a need out there and it's not being met, and we keep knocking on the door and pounding like the widow, the persistent widow, and the judge isn't listening, sometimes we just have to start it ourselves and hope that others will follow along.
Okay. Pastor Nash?
One of the things that are happening this year, being the co-chair of an organization called RLCC, Religious Leaders for Community Care, president of the Minister Alliance of Champaign-Urbana and Vicinity, we have adopted this year as our number one objective agenda item is education. And as we meet once a month with RLCC, we talk about education. We have a chairperson whose job is to keep an ear to what's happening in our community, Unit 4 and Unit 116. Bring those things to the table on the second Saturday morning, and we address those issues. The Minister Alliance, we meet twice a month, first and third Saturday. We have an educational chairperson there. Their job is to do the same. Go to the board meeting, find out what's going on, bring those things back to us, and we address those things. And then we encourage the pastors who are members of those organizations on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, when you're talking to your people, talk about education, how important it is that your son and daughter get a good education. For we believe that if a young man do not get an education, statistics tells us that he has 85% to 95% chance of ending up either in prison or on the streets, a drug addict. And so we are trying to address those needs in those two organizations, hoping that as we leave those meetings and go back to where God let us shepherd people, that we can carry that message and hope that will spread throughout the community. And then one day we'll be able to change the system. We must understand that it doesn't do any good to carry picket signs or go to those meetings and raise hell. If you want to change it, then you got to get in the system. And so we're asking our people to go reddish and then go vote. And you can change the system when you change the faces in the system. And then when that happens, every child will have an opportunity to get a good education. No longer should we keep saying that that child cannot learn because it comes from a single parent home or it comes from a low income home. That doesn't matter. Look at the private schools who are taking kids from those same homes, and they are reading at levels above those in the same grade in our public school system. So it's not the child, it's the system, and it's going to take men and women, Black, white, Jew, and Gentile come together saying we must address this problem and we must solve this problem. And the only way we're going to do it is through education and through doing the kind of things we're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. We need to bring our discussion to a close. I would like to thank both of you for being here tonight.
Thank you.